industry, and I am like the least media savvy person or technology savvy person, so I'm so thankful for guys like you have here running the sound. Thank you guys for sorting that out. So if you were here last night, or not here, but at our dinner over at Grace Church, you would have heard a few stories from Ray, and he'll be sharing from the Bible this morning, which is great. But we have this question that we ask at the end of our video, and the question is, how will you get involved? And there are 5 different ways that we invite you as Canadians to get involved. And one of them is by learning, by being a part of the ministry, by coming to events, by listening to the audio programs, by sharing those with different people. There are a variety of different ways. And on our website, if you want to just pull that up, thank you. So if you go up to the top, to the bar, the homes bar. Awesome. So where it says engage, if you just click on that, and you just drop down, and you can see, so these are 5 areas of engagement. And under listen, there's an option called twr360.org. And this is an incredible tool that you have access to for free. And many churches in Canada use a tool called Right Now Media, and I think you guys use that here. This is similar to Right Now Media, except for available in as many languages as possible. Right now, I think there's about 65 languages on there. So for those of you who English is maybe not your first language, or maybe you speak Low German or Russian or something else in your home, there are options here. And just by clicking on over on the far right-hand side, there should be an option that says languages. And up at the top on the right, do you see that there? Sorry. It's harder when I have to tell somebody else how to navigate. Just, yeah, see that little globe thing? That says languages. And it gives you a snapshot of all the different languages that we have content in. So whether it's for yourself that you want to listen to the Word of God in a language that is home for you, or if it's somebody else, perhaps a neighbor or somebody else in your community. For those of you who were at the dinner last night, I even shared about a woman in Saskatoon who has Buddhist monk neighbors, and just being able to get content into her hands that she could share with her neighbors was just an incredible gift. So there it is. Okay, so here are all the languages that are currently on TWR 360. I think you have the browser on a bigger percentage than 100, so I think it'll show more languages if it's pushed in and minimized, but it gives you a snapshot of the languages that we do have on there. So it is a really great tool, and it is a free tool, so by all means, there's twr360.org, but there's also an app that you can download onto your phone. And I know my sister has, for those of you with kids, she's got 4 little ones, and they listen to Bible Stories Alive, which is a children's story, and they just love it, and they use the app to do that. So invite you to take part of that as well. And this is our website. Is there anything else? That's good. Okay, cool. That's all from me then.
Okay, I think we're all set to go. Anyway, Nikki said we were in 65 languages. This time last week, I was in meetings in Europe, and they informed me that we're now in 81 different languages. So 81 languages you can go on TWR 360 with. If you've been at some of our banquet last night, or were at the breakfast yesterday morning, I'm going to repeat myself a little bit. You just have to bear with me. I think my stories are good enough that you'll like to hear them again. Anyway, let me talk a little bit about the Nubian people. The Nubian people live in northern Uganda. They are one, basically, there was one pastor who, for that group of people, they are a Muslim tribe that live in northern Uganda. This group got in touch with us, and this pastor got in touch with us and said, I am one person, and I cannot reach out to my people in northern Uganda. There is no way to reach my people. So this man, he asked us to do a program called the Way of Righteousness. Now, the Way of Righteousness was developed probably 30 or 40 years ago. And what that this program does, the Way of Righteousness, it's specifically meant for Muslim people. And so what they do in this program is they actually start with what the Muslims or the Islam and Christianity have in common. And they take them through a series of 100 lessons, and the hope is when they finish the Way of Righteousness, people will not be worshiping Muhammad anymore. They will be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And this story is a wonderful story. We went in there, and it was a very simple project. For those that were there last night, and I don't have one up here, all we did was take those 100 programs into this community, and we put them on a little tiny media player. This pastor started distributing these, and we only had 25 of these. And the first time we got a message back from this tribe, already 50 people had received Christ as their personal Savior through that one program. And so I tell you that story today is because very often as we sit here in Canada, we may think that all this work out there trying to reach out into different parts of the world, it's an impossible situation, and that nobody is going to listen. I'm here to tell you today that our responsibility is to share the word, and God does the rest. And so in this Nubian tribe now, they have just come back to us a couple weeks ago and said, we need more players. And this pastor said, this Nubian tribe, there is a possibility that this whole tribe could come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and why do I share that with you today? Because those people before this pastor went in there had never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege and we can have a part in actually sharing the gospel in parts of the world where they'll not hear the gospel any other way. Just recently, we got a message from the Middle East from a man who had been a Christian for years, but he said, I didn't have any way because I was isolated of being discipled. He went on the internet, and I think actually he went to TWR 360 and found our discipleship programs in Arabic. And so he started going through that himself, and he said, when he wrote us, he said, you changed my life. And he was so excited about what he saw and what he heard, that he, for this one man today, is discipling over 400 people in the Middle East. So the gospel is going out. People are excited to hear the gospel. Probably 5 or 6 years ago, I don't remember in history where it is, in the Middle East, what happened was it was a season of time. It was called the Arab Spring. And country after country, they were overthrowing their governments. And they the different groups were going to started leading the countries. In most countries, with the exception of one country, the Arab Spring basically failed. And I believe this was orchestrated by God, because what that has done in the Middle East has opened up the Middle East to people to be more receptive than they ever have to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, in the Middle East, because of that, TWR, our partner in the Middle East called Together Network, has over 10,000 radio home groups operating in the Middle East, and their specific purpose is to disciple the church. Because how can you disciple a country or people when you only have a handful of pastors? I was thinking this morning as I was driving here, and Winkler has a lot of churches. What would happen in this community if this afternoon, they came in and they put a padlock on every one of the churches in this community? What would happen with this church here? How would you be fed and how would you grow? And so this is the role that TWR plays around the world. In the country of Iran, that is exactly what happened. In the country of Iran, they came into Iran and they put a padlock on every door. And so the church went underground. And TWR has had the privilege of delivering radio programs into that country, and I can tell you, as much as the government says in Iran that the church is not growing, the church is growing in the country of Iran. And so TWR has had a role and the privilege of not only discipling the people in the country, we have had the privilege of bringing them out of the country and actually training them and discipling leaders in a neighboring country and then putting them back into the country so they can disciple the church. The work that we do around the world is a risky business. In many countries that we work in today, we are taking there is risk in what we do. I was sharing last night, and I've asked for prayer for this, in the country of China where we, 5 years ago, we were operating with basically total freedom. In just 5 years, that country is closed up, and we have to be very, very, very careful what we do there today. So ministry, when we do ministry, it takes risk to do that. And that risk, when I started thinking about risk, and I started earlier in the summer, this summer, I started thinking about risk, and I started looking at Scripture to find places in Scripture that people took risks to grow the kingdom or took risks in their personal life. And one of the first books that I came to that I saw that risk was the book of Ruth. And now, Ruth is a book of the Bible, and I know that Nikki, it's her favorite book of the Bible, but it's also one of my favorite books of the Bible. So very often, I've read through this book many times, and just the Ruth struck me as a woman that was willing to take great risks. Now, Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, and the story begins, there was a famine basically in Judah, and Naomi's family, her husband, I always say her husband's name wrong, Elimelech, went to Moab where they could grow their crops and they could feed their family. And as we read this morning in Scripture, we learn in this portion of Scripture that Naomi lost her husband. And if that was not bad enough that she lost her husband, she also lost her two son-in-laws. And she was left with two daughter-in-laws who were not actually from Judah. They were Moabites. And so Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, let's go back to Judah. And so they started that journey back there. And as we read through this portion of Scripture, we find that Naomi, in verse 6, it says, now then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops. So Naomi and her daughter-in-laws got ready to leave Moab to return to the homeland. With her two daughter-in-laws, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road and led them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi saw that said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your mother's home. And why would she do that? Why would she tell her these two daughter-in-laws once they started to go back to their homeland? And so as I looked at that, I saw some of the following things. That Naomi wanted to really take care of her daughter-in-laws. If we're in a situation and we lose family, what do we normally do? We look to our family to help care for us, but they... So she gave them the option to go back to their family. And we know the story well, that Orpah decided that she would go back to her homeland, but Ruth said to her mother-in-law, don't make me go back. And we read in Scripture this morning, Ruth replied, don't ask me to return. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Wherever you die, I will die. She even said, may the Lord punish me if anything happens to separate us. So Ruth took the risk to continue on with Naomi and go back to Judah. Now, I lived in Africa for many years, or 13 years, and I think the culture probably in the Middle East was very similar to that. There was, when this happened, there was risk of Ruth going to Judah with her mother-in-law because they did not know how they would be treated. So they returned to they returned to Judah, and they took the rest and returned to Judah. Orpah knew her family would take care of her. Ruth and Naomi returned to Judah, but they took the rest. So Ruth was a Moabite, and so everything was uncertain. When they were, where they would live, how they would feed themselves, they didn't know how the community would even treat them when they got there. So everything they did was a risk. But Ruth's most important statement in this whole process was this: your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And Ruth took that risk, and the reason I share this, we can see here how in this portion of Scripture, God was faithful to both Ruth and Naomi. And the end of this story was actually very, very exciting, because the end of the story is that Ruth married Boaz and was in the lineage of Jesus. So here is a family who took a risk, and God was faithful to that family. Probably the man in the Bible that I think that took the greatest risk, or I would say took the greatest risk, was Moses. Moses, from his very birth, was a special child. His mother took the risk, it put him in a basket, and he was raised in an Egyptian family. But we know in that story that Moses actually has to leave that good life eventually, and he does what a lot of you people do here, right here in Winkler. He becomes a farmer. And as I read through this portion of Scripture, I am imagining he was out there, he was tending the sheep. Moses was happily married, and he thought he probably had a perfect life. But God came to him and said, "Moses, I want you to take a risk." And so that risk was great. He said to him, "I want you to rescue the Israelites. I want you to take them from this oppression, from slavery." It was an impossible situation, humanly speaking. But no, Moses did what I have done many times in my missionary career. He said, "You know, God, I'm sure there's a far better person than me to do this job. Why don't you just let me be a farmer? Why don't you just let me stay here and be a farmer?" And Nikki has heard me say this. I'm not good with words. Please let somebody else share in the Sunday morning service. I was really hoping when Nikki came up here that Mike had told her she had to speak instead of me, but that didn't happen. This is happening to you. Moses says, "You know, I'm not good with words. Don't put me in the position where I've got to do this. Please send someone else." But God was determined that Moses was going to take that risk. And so I have often imagined what it was like for Moses there the first time he had to go to Pharaoh. I have had the privilege of actually meeting with a couple prime ministers and presidents in my lifetime, and I don't like doing that. There's a lot of protocol to it, and I don't like doing that because I'm even more nervous when I'm doing that than me standing up here this morning. So Moses said, "Send someone else." Can you imagine any one of us here having to take that risk and go to Pharaoh? And so he went. He went to Pharaoh, and we know the story. He went, and he had to keep on going. He had to keep on going again and again and again. In fact, he had to go 10 times. But it was amazing. They kept taking that risk, and Pharaoh kept making Moses look foolish. But Moses and Aaron pressed on. They kept taking the risk. They kept going back to Pharaoh. In my mind, Moses' greatest risk was when he got the Israelites to the Red Sea. And for anybody that's, has lived on the ocean or has seen the power of the ocean, to actually march up to the Red Sea and then stand there and have to walk down that embankment and actually in the Red Sea and for the sea to part, I would not have wanted to be in Moses. That was probably his greatest risk, and I am sure as he was walking across the Red Sea, all the time he was walking across the Red Sea, he was saying to himself, "Man, there's a lot of risk here because this water could come in on us at any time." but he took the risk, and Moses took them across the Red Sea. There are lots of risk takers in Scripture. Paul, Gideon, David, Joshua, they all took a credible risk. And as I looked at Hebrews 11, how many times in that poor Hebrews 11, by faith, they did what they needed to do. God looked at people and has used risk takers for all through Scripture. And so as I come to you this morning, what I want to challenge you here this morning is, what risk is God asking us to take? And I want to tell you this morning a very, very practical story. I come from a non-Christian family. I had a wonderful wife growing up, but the church, it wasn't part of our life. And so when I was 22 years old, I met my wife. And for those of you who have heard my testimony, my wife led me to the Lord. And when I became a Christian, my family was not very happy with me. They did not like the fact that I'd become a Christian. And so for many years, I basically, when I met with my family, I never said anything about my faith. And so when my mom was 71 years old, she got cancer. And I had really not shared with my mother in any real open way. And so I went home at Christmas time. She died. She passed away in April. I went home, and I went to my mom, and I said to my mom, Mom, I'm going to take you out for lunch. And my mother said to me that day, she said, what are we going to talk about when I take me out for lunch? And I said to my mom, Mom, you know what I'm going to talk about. And she said, I'm not going with you. And I didn't know what to do, but I said to my mom that day, I said, Mom, I'm taking you out for lunch. If I have to carry you, I have to strap you into the vehicle, I'm taking you out for lunch, because I cannot let you die without sharing with you. So I took my mother out for lunch, and my mother sat there. She listened to me, and she didn't say very much. I gave her two books. Well, one was from Radio Bible Class, and the other one was a book called The Letter from a Skeptic. And I gave those to my mom, and I said, Mom, you don't have to listen to me, but I want you to read these two books. And so we spent Christmas with my mom. I went away, and through a chain of events, I got to go back home in April and of that year. And so I got home on this day. We went to bed that night, and at 3 o'clock the next morning, my mother came into my room, and she woke me up, and she said, Ray, I have just accepted Christ as my Savior. And I tell you that story today, because I wish, above all else, I had taken the risk many years earlier. My mother passed away 3 days later. And so I took the risk, and I will see my mother again in heaven. I also took a risk with my father. My father was very gentle and easy to talk to, but when I would discuss Scripture, when I would try to talk to him about Christ, he had never listened. So what I did with my father is I found an old couple, and I asked them to go and visit my father and spend time with him, and they did that. And I did not have the privilege of leaving my father to the Lord Jesus Christ, but my friends did. And so I am so thankful that I took the risk, and I will see my mother and father in heaven. And when I think back early, before I became a Christian, I think back in my life again, when I was making the decision whether to accept Christ as my Savior, and this may sound weird to you, my biggest fear in becoming a Christian was that I was going to lose all my friends. And I did not want to lose my friends. I wanted to be friends with those people. But I knew that we were going in two very, very different ways. And so I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I did lose most of my friends by doing that. But I want to tell you this morning, if you're a young person here and you do not have not accepted Christ as your Savior, if you do that, you actually are not losing anybody. You are joining the largest family in the world. And so this church, this group here today, you're a family. And so you do not lose your friends. You gain a family. Just a few more examples of where we as a family took a risk. Sandy and I were living in Kenora, Ontario, and we were trying to raise our support to go to the mission field. And if you'd have known me in that day, Mike would have never, ever let me have a service. He would have given me 2 minutes and asked me to sit down. Because I was a diesel mechanic and electrician in those days, and putting two sentences together was very, very difficult for me. I would have stood behind this mic, and it would have been way up here. And so we were in Kenora, and we were struggling to raise our support to go to the mission field. And so someone said to us, you know, you guys, you should move to Toronto. You can raise your support in Toronto. Well, I like to think I'm intelligent, but I did not think that through very well. But we decided that we had moved to Toronto. What I failed to realize is I didn't know anybody in Toronto. And so how was I going to raise my support in Toronto? So we got to Toronto, and I had a man that was working with me there, and he said, this is what we'll do. He said, we will just drive down the street, and this would work really well in Winkler. He said, we'll just drive down the street, and we're going to just stop at every church we see. And you're going to go in there, and you're going to share your testimony, and when we're done, we're going to just ask for a meeting. And that's how we're going to raise the rest of your support. Well, I've learned that nobody did it that way. But, you know, we took that risk. We moved to Toronto. And in 3.5 months, we were fully supported. God was faithful to us, and we took the risk, and God was faithful. There are many stories I could share today. I've shared about being in leadership. When I was asked to go in leadership in TWR, I was a diesel mechanic and electrician. And the thing I liked most was having dirty hands and dirty coveralls. And my wife used to say, if I wasn't dirty in an hour, she said I would roll in it. That's how I love being a mechanic. So they asked me to go into leadership, and I said, no, I don't have the skills. It was a Moses experience. I can't do anything. And so one of the stories I like telling when I was in high school, I took typing. That was back in the days of typewriters. So there's a few of you here remember what a typewriter is. We had typewriters. And the way it worked in school is that if you do a typing test and you only got to your fifth mistake, and they would take 5 errors off for every mistake you made, at the end of the year, I typed negative words per minute. I typed negative words per minute. But I tell you this story because when I reluctantly decided that God was calling me into ministry, into an administrative role, I sat down at a keyboard, and I put my hands on the keys, and I could type. And I didn't make 5 mistakes in the first line I typed. So God, as soon as I needed that skill, he gave me that skill. So through the last years in leadership in Africa, in the Latin American Caribbean, and then back in Canada, I have come to rely on God. And in those early days, I thought I was taking risks. But I don't think I'm taking risks anymore because my God has been faithful. And every time I've needed a skill, God has given me that skill to be able to do what I need to do. And so as we are here this morning, I want to challenge you all here this morning. What risk are we willing here as a church to take for the kingdom? What risks are we willing to take personally for the kingdom? And is there somebody here who has, in fact, not accepted Christ as your Savior? And my question to you this morning, are you ready to take the risk and become part of God's kingdom? Is God asking you to do something in the church? Are you reluctant to do that? Is he asking you to go somewhere, maybe somewhere outside of Winkler? And so I ask you this morning, are you willing to take that risk and see how God will help you through that, the way he helped Naomi and Ruth, the way he helped Moses and Gideon and Paul and all the others. Hebrews 11, I want to just read a short portion of Scripture. If you want to turn, in closing this morning, I want to read a short portion of Scripture from Matthew 11. It says, starting at chapter 12. So it says in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great, huge crowd of witnesses in the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up. And let us run the race with endurance, the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who imitates and perfects our faith. And so as we close our time this morning, where are you in your faith journey? Where are you in your faith journey? Are you willing to take the risks to share with your neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to take a simple player, with another language on it and take it to an immigrant family here in the city and share about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God asks us all to take risks for him. And what I can tell you this morning, if you're willing to take that risk, at least this is my experience, God will be faithful. I look at Mike, and this is not scripted. I look at Mike, and I don't know the history, I don't know the timeline, but Mike was a very successful engineer. He was living in the Sault Ste. Marie area, and he could have had a very, very different life. And I know that Mike at one point said, you know what? I'm going to take the risk, and I'm going to go to Briarcrest. And he's here today because he took that risk. And I think I can say this morning that Mike would come up here and say, God has been faithful. So let's take that risk. Let's make it so that the people in all the parts of the world who will never hear the gospel any other way can maybe listen to a media player and hear the truth of the gospel, because it is not Transworld Radio that brings a single person into the kingdom. It's the Spirit of God speaking into their hearts. And God said to us in Scripture that our responsibility is simply to take the word, and he'll do the rest. So I'm very thankful that I've had the opportunity to share here this morning. I'm very thankful today that I have had 32 years in ministry, and I have been able to take the risk for God and see how he is faithful, and that he continues to love not just those of us in this room, not just those of us in Canada, but every person on this earth. That is his desire, that they come into the kingdom. So let's take the risk and do all we can to share that gospel around the world. Thank you very much.